from the rugged desert outside Yuma, Arizona. This is Outpost Outspoken. Outpost Outspoken is the official podcast of U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, which conducts natural environment testing of military equipment in Arizona, Alaska, and the tropics. Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. Radio Spectrum is the invisible resource that YPG relies on to support their highly specialized testing. Even in an organization where it is common to find people who are passionate about their work, Michael Stoltenberg, Electronic Warfare Radio Frequency Support Lead, stands out. You told me some years ago that you got into electronics because you wanted to stop electrocuting yourself when you were a kid.
That is true.
What kind of stuff did you put together when you were growing up?
I was actually repairing my spa in the backyard, and I didn't understand electricity well enough for current at the time, and I ended up touching a hot lead with my foot tied to the ground. So I was stuck for 30 minutes in a spot. It took a while to figure out how to release my hand. After that, I made a point to learn about electricity, and when I joined the military, they offered me a chance to be an electronic technician. I jumped at it to learn about electricity.
You told me growing up you put a satellite dish together at one point.
Oh, yes, I did, because I was actually demodulating downlink from the satellites for cable, so I got free cable. I received their signal, demodulated it, and plugged it into the TV. I look at things and ask questions, so if it's something's curiosity, I'll go actually look at it and study it and figure out what's going on, just to understand.
When the Air Force offered you a variety of MOSs, you jumped at electronics.
Actually, instrumentation telemetry technician with electronics. I wouldn't have to go overseas as research and development, so ended up out of Holloman Air Force Base, my entire enlistment.
And you were doing testing with White Sands Missile Range when you were there, weren't you?
Yes, actually we did GPS testing. The testing there was focused only on GPS and all that. Out here, we do the entire spectrum from DC to daylight and then some.
I know you were working in the private sector after your career in the military.
Yes.
And you got laid off in the Great Recession. And at that time at YPG, there was something called NACATEC that was hot and heavy with testing for counter IED mission.
Yes. Right after the military, I went to college to get my degree. I used my GI Bill. I wanted to get my degree because it was important to me. Plus, one of the people I worked with out in the Air Force, a civilian, had his PhD in physics from the University of Arizona. Kind of mentored me, so I went the same route. I've always been a kind of a scientist. While I was in college, I ended up getting an internship working in ceramics and materials, so at Advanced Ceramics Research. So I actually got to work with UASs. They had own UAS. They were selling to the military. I worked on their RF link and communications link. Nice thing was I learned how to, from my military days, I managed to streamline the quality control on the equipment for the company, make sure everybody had the antennas, verifying things, make sure manufacturers supplying the same equipment. While I was keeping up on that, I also submitted small business initiative researches proposals for the military looking for companies to build stuff. So I learned how to write an SBIR and actually won one. And then, of course, I got laid off in the Great Recession. Looking for a job, I came out here. One of the places I interviewed was EC3, which later became TRAC. I ended up interviewing with David Emerson. He was a government lead here at the time. He now has his PhD and works for Crane. For the Navy. He worked for the technical assistance teams for NACATEC, where we did research on, explored, answered RF problems that popped up on the range.
I mean, for someone of your background, the applied science that NACATEC was doing with real world impact, I mean, that must have been just exhilarating to you.
Oh, it was entertaining. It was interesting. I got just to be able to look at what was going on. People were asking us to analyze things in real time over the air to see the interactions between our test systems, the target, or whatever was happening in the environment to show what was going on and explain it. We found problems and software bugs in some of our systems that we reported up that they fixed. We just had to look at that. We had to look at it with a question and ask, why? Then try and explain it and show it to people so they can understand it.
And I know in those years, 60 and 70 hour work weeks were not uncommon for NACATEC personnel.
It was normal for one of the testers, but the RF and the technical assistance team, we were only out there when needed. If something went wrong, they called us. So that's where my reputation comes up, showing on range and answering questions. It was fun. I was outside. We'd analyze in real time, show the customers. They'd go back and take the information they would see from us and our explanation and tweak the load sets, change things on the fly to get better performance that we needed to protect the soldiers. Being able to have that equipment and pull up the data that you can't see with the naked eye. It happens. It's like a needle in a haystack. Sometimes it may be on for a microsecond. That's hard to see. To capture it, slow down, pay it back, and pull the data out and show the interaction really helped the customers design what they needed to.
Spectrum is the invisible asset that every test at YPG depends on.
Yes, they do. Everybody has to deal with Spectrum, and it's a complicated beast, the best say. Just trying to get clearances and approvals to operate takes a lot. Making sure we don't interfere with each other, protecting safety of flight and all that. A lot of the reasons I'm staying on top of things with clearances and all that is because I'm the long lead times, because other agencies are doing their review of it, but they can't do it overnight in 24 hours. They need time to do their own personal review because they have their own job. Being proactive, making sure we submit on time, following the policies, is important. But at the same time, I'm trying to show that we do our due diligence to protect the flight safety, to protect the infrastructure, to minimize stuff. Finding ways to look at our signal noise ratio to make sure other systems are working.
I know you were working on a master's in applied physics in your spare time.
Yes. It'll be interesting when I get it done.
And I know you still like tinkering with electronics.
Yes. Let's see here. What else do I do? So that experiment that I've been doing is kind of helping out with trying to find a better way to do testing with low fields, near fields. That's kind of a very important thing. Most transmitters are high power amplifiers. Everybody knows they put out a lot of power, and that power goes distances. Normally, our receivers and sensitivities around -90 dBm. Most things put out 1 watt. That's 30 dBm. So you're talking over 120 dB of range. We need to make sure that we protect our neighbors. So if we do low power stuff, closer infield, helps the test get the data it needs to, but at the same time not affecting neighbors or interfering with safety of flight and everybody. Minimizing our footprint is the key, but also meeting the test objectives so people can understand what they're going. One of the big things we do to meet our test objectives is we generate an electromagnetic environment, EME. We can put up any type of signal you want in the environment. We got small footprint, we're mobile, we can do dynamic, but the idea is to tailor it per your test area, your operational area. If you're gonna operate in South Pacific or Europe or the Arctic, somebody go out, State Department, or somebody goes supplies an idea what the spectrum looks like, and we will recreate that electromagnetic environment here for testing purposes. It's not so much a requirement, but it's a check mark. If you can work in this, it means you're most likely your system's ready to be deployed with soldiers to be used. But if you can't do work in an RF environment, you're working in a pristine lab, you go out to the actual field and you suddenly don't work at all, people question you.
Michael, it's really good talking to you today. Thanks for coming by.
You're welcome, sir.
Welcome back to Outpost Outspoken. I'm your host for this segment, Anna Henderson. Joining me today is Evelyn Egan's Alston. She is the Child and Youth Services Coordinator at U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground. Welcome, Evelyn.
Thank you.
Before we talk about your responsibilities at YPG, tell me about your experience and positions prior to coming here.
My experience is vast with CYS and just working with children and families. I started off at Fort Stewart years ago, and I started off at the bottom. And I think that helped me a lot throughout my process of my career. I was a lead programmer at the middle school teen program. From there, I had a supervisor that seen something in me, and he kept pushing and pushing me to progress in my academics to make sure that I was ready for the next level. I left from the middle school teen program and I went into the sports program, was there for years, loved it. It was very rewarding. From there, I became an assistant director in the Child Development Center, which provided so much knowledge and really kept me moving forward. I was there for a couple of years, and then Fort Bragg came a calling, and I remember when I applied, it was an hour before the announcement closed, and it was a facility director position for the largest CDC at Fort Bragg. So I applied. About a week later, I get this call, and I interviewed, and I was selected for the position. I didn't know what I was walking into, but I just knew that I loved children. I became the CDC director. And again, I had a great supervisor, Karen Miller, that really saw something in me. And maybe a year and a half, 2 years later, I was asked to go to a Tiger team to be a coordinator at Fort Detrick for a couple of months. I went there, came back, and I probably was in my position as a CDC director almost 2 years at that point. And I became the program operations specialist. And if you know anything about CYS, that's the coordinator's right hand. I loved it. Stayed there for a while, and then here comes Drum, came a knocking. They needed help. So Drum needed a coordinator, and I was there temporarily. After being there about a month or two temporarily, the position came available, and I actually applied, and I became the coordinator at Fort Drum. It was a great experience. I was there for a couple of years, and then life happened. My parents got older, and so I had to make a choice. My children started having children, so the grandparent side of me came out, so I was like, I got to go south. And so I went back to Bragg, and I'll tell anyone, when you leave somewhere, make sure you leave there with a good slate, because it's easy to go back. So I went back to Bragg as an administrator, a child administrator. I did that for a couple of months, and the position that I had prior to came available. So I went back into that position. I've been back at Bragg at this point, prior to coming here, about 5 years. And again, the opportunity came a knocking and said, hey, Yuma needed some help. I was able to have the opportunity to come to Yuma back in August. I was here for 60 days, and the position came on the market. It was just something that I love to do, is being a coordinator, because you're leading a program. You have the direction in which the program needs to go. So with that being said, I applied. And I was selected for the position, and I haven't turned back yet. I'm enjoying it.
And now you've been able to bring all of that wealth of experience, both with children, with youth sports, to YPG. Tell us about your responsibilities at CYS.
Here at YPG, since we're so remote and isolated, my hat, I wear several hats. I'm out in the community as the school liaison officer also. So I am meeting with the schools and meeting with the other SLOs that are in the Arizona community and area, so that we make sure that all our military children are provided all the information and resources, be it scholarships, be it transition, deployments. We make sure that during those deployments that our military children are well taken care of. So the education piece of it, I'm out there. I play a large piece in our Parent Central side of the house. I'm an outreach services director, where I oversee a couple of Parent Central people that I have under my belt. And that's when they come in for enrollment, registration. And so we make sure all that occurs. I am the ultimate CYS coordinator overall, and have oversight of the CDC and the SAC and the youth sports program. I love staying busy, so guess what? It's the perfect job for me.
CYS is such a valuable part of YPG. Both of my children attended, so I saw it every single day. Many military, civilian, and contractors depend on the child care services on post. And we can depend on that top-notch care for our children because of the Army standard.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that.
The Army has set standards so high, and it's awesome because, again, my children were, military brats. And I love the fact that when we have infants, we are following to make sure that their development is progressing the way it's supposed to. So there are several different guidelines that we have to follow. When they become toddlers, we have to follow other guidelines. It's just a constant change that occurs daily within our programs. And now that we have even another program, is our TeachStone program, where we're making sure that there are meaningful interactions occurring with our children. And it's the best thing. It's allowing our children for their behaviors to be so calm and loving. And the parents are jumping in. We're providing them resources. They're even having different types of toys that they bring home and learning resources that are very beneficial for the family and the child. So the interactions are there and there's lowering the behavior.
I always loved it. It was almost like a brag book. There were pictures of your child doing like different activities and then you'd get that book.
You had a portfolio.
I love it.
Yes. And you know what? The staff love it also. The CYPAs, they enjoy putting it together. And we love the fact that culturally, we make sure that every child feels at home. So we make sure that pictures are up and the families are seeing their children when they walk in the door. They see the activities that they've done that day. And it's just an awesome feeling.
It really is a great program. And in addition to that childcare, you have those enrichment activities, which are unique, like from the parades, the little nature walk, which is always so cute seeing the kids outside. They get to watch the free fallers jump. So tell us more about these extracurricular activities for the children.
Well, you know, we have youth sports, so our children are being able to get out there and be fit, be it baseball, t-balls, they can play basketball. We've incorporated something that I'm really so excited about, and it sounds silly when I tell you what it is. It's dodgeball. But we've gone from just regular dodgeball to family dodgeball. Parents are showing up and showing out, and we're looking at them, and they're so into it. And it's just a quality time that our parents are having with the children, their children, other people's children. It's just a lot of fun. We are literally every day we're thinking of something different. We're challenging our children. We're asking our youth, what do you want to do? We're asking even our school ages, what do you want to do? I have a young man that's in our program, Liam, and the thing is, he's teaching me new games tomorrow night. We're going to go from old to new. We're going to pull out dominoes. And you know,
that is a great game.
Yes, but when I tell you the next game is spades. We're going to show them, you know, they always want to show us something new. We want to show them something that old, but is new to them. And just to build their character. So when they get older and as adults, it's not something that's new to them. It'll be something that they can freely play. We're trying to build leaders and give them the experiences that we had growing up.
Well, speaking of staying current with the times, I've seen your moves on social media.
Whoa, my children have to.
I mean, it seems, well, first of all, you have dance moves, and it seems like you've really connected with the staff, like right away. You can tell that in the videos.
Yes, I have. And it's been an awesome time. And it's truly, I'll just say this, it's been a blessing to be able to meet and greet just staff, families, friends that coming out the, you know, when I walk into a building, someone's saying, hi, how are you? And, you know, and then knowing who I am. And it's just a great feeling. It makes it easier for us to maneuver this journey that we're taking with YPG.
Now, if somebody wants to get their child involved in the Child and Youth Services program, where do they start?
Okay, tell them to stop by building 1001 or 1102. At both buildings, we have someone that's a Parent Central representative that will be able to get them signed up and provide them all of the resources that they need. For childcare, I would tell any parent, if they're about to have a newborn, they're, you know, expecting parent, go on to militarychildcare.com and start that process. I said this so often, when you're thinking about having a child at an Army installation, go ahead and sign up on militarychildcare.com. And that's just about everywhere at small and large installations. It's the same.
And the same for the summer camps, because I know those fill up fast and they're so much fun. Mm-hmm. The field trips, all the activities. So again, that's they can also sign up
Definitely.
There.
That's where they're going to do this. It's going to be their first stop at either building 1001 or 1102, and they're going to definitely be looking for Miss Girlie Reitman or Haley Foss, and they're going to provide them the steps to make sure that they don't miss anything.
All righty. Well, Evelyn, thank you for your time today. And
thank you for
everything that you do for the Army.
Oh, you know what? I'm here to serve and I enjoy it. Thank you.
We look forward to seeing those dances too.
Thank you, Ernie.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
This has been Outpost Outspoken. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time from the forefront of Army transformation.